Chapter 30. Kylar stood in a hazy corridor decorated with brightly colored animals, facing a door. There were no sharp edges to anything. It was as if he were looking at the world through sleep-blurry eyes. The door opened without his touch, and as soon as he saw her, his heart lurched. Vi was lying on a narrow bed, weeping. She was the only thing in the world utterly clear, sharp, and present. She raised a hand in supplication, and he went to her. She seemed as unsurprised by his presence as he was. For a moment, he wondered at that. Where was he? How had he come? The thoughts disappeared the moment he touched her hand. This was real. Her hand was small in his, delicate and finely shaped, the skin as calloused as his own. Unlike Eileen's, Vi's third finger was slightly longer than her forefinger. He'd never noticed that before. It was the most natural thing to sit on the bed and pull her into his arms. She lay across his lap and clung to him, suddenly weeping harder and grasping him convulsively. He held her tight, willing his strength into her. He could feel her need for it. She was confused, lost, scared of this new life, scared of being known, scared of never being known. He didn't have to read her face. He felt it within himself. She turned tear-swollen eyes to his face, and he looked into her deep green eyes. He was a mirror to her, and he reflected back truth against every fear. The tears slowed, and her grip relaxed. She closed her eyes as if the intimacy was too much. She put her head in his lap, sighing. Her body finally relaxed. Her long, fiery red hair was unbound. Though it was messy and tangled and crimped from where she had worn it in a ponytail all day, he was amazed. It was glossy, silky, mesmerizing, a color that only one in a thousand women had. His eyes followed a strand of her hair past tear-wet eyelashes to a nose with faint freckles he'd never noticed before, to her slender neck. Vi wore an ill-fitting, plain nightdress. It was too short for her, and the knot had come loose, leaving it gaping open. Her nipple was dark pink, small on her full breast, lightly puckered in the room's coolness. The first time Kylar had seen Vi's breasts, she'd exposed herself to shock him. This time, he could feel that she was unaware of it. The unexpected innocence of Vi's exposure roused something protective in him. He swallowed and moved the cloth to cover her. Despite that, Vi could feel him as clearly as he could feel her. She didn't notice. Was she merely that exhausted, or was she so divorced from her body that she didn't attach any significance to her breast being covered? Kylar didn't know. But either way, the wave of compassion he felt overpowered his desire. He barely glanced at her shapely legs, naked to mid-thigh, as he covered them with a blanket. She burrowed into him, so vulnerable and so damn gorgeous he couldn't think straight. He ran his fingers through her hair, to call back the more protective feelings. Instead, Vi melted instantly, yielded completely, a wave of tingles coursing from head to loins. His heart lurched. The only thing he'd ever felt close to this was when he'd kissed Eileen for half an hour and then spooned behind her, tracing kisses across her ears and neck, skimming his fingertips across her breasts. And it was always then that she stopped him, afraid of losing control completely. Vi sailed right over that brink. She was his. Utterly. Completely. He was drunk on her ecstasy. The bond between them burned like fire. He couldn't stop himself. He slowly combed his fingers through her hair, rubbed her scalp, combed his fingers through her hair again. She shifted her hips, making tiny sounds. She rolled over in his lap so he could reach the other side of her head. It put her facing his stomach, inches from the undeniable evidence of his own arousal. He froze. She felt it, and her eyes flew open. Her pupils were pools of desire. "Please don't stop," she said. "I'll take care of you. Promise." She gave the bulge of his trousers a peck. Her casualness threw Kylar. There was a disconnect here, in what was supposed to be a connection. It wasn't, "Let's share this." It was, "Let's trade." It wasn't love. It was commerce. "I'm sorry," she said, picking up on his confusion. "I was being selfish." She threw back the blanket, and in the illogic of a dream, her ugly nightdress was simply gone. In its place, a fitted red nightgown clung to her curves. She stretched like a cat, displaying herself to marvelous advantage. "You first. It's all yours. It's all yours, not I'm all yours." She was offering herself like a sweetmeat. It was nothing to her. The door opened abruptly, and Eline stood there. Her eyes took in Vi, half-naked, draped over Kylar, her hand on his crotch, and Kylar stupidly enjoying it. Kylar scrambled out of bed. "No!" he cried. "What?" Vi asked. "What are you seeing?" "Eline! Wait!" Kylar woke and found himself alone in the safe house. Dorian was in his chambers with Janine, poring over maps of the Freeze and the Werdmeister's estimations of the clan's strength, when the Keeper of the Dead entered. Dorian and Janine followed the man into one of the cheerier rooms, where a body lay wrapped in sheets. Two huge Highlanders in nondescript Southern clothes, but with the bearing of soldiers, stood after making their obeisance. Ashaya Vull opened the cloth around the corpse's head. The stench was magnified tenfold. The bald head had been split in half, but not cracked. Nothing had been broken or torn. There was simply a slice missing from his crown to his neck. In that instant, Dorian knew not only the victim, but also the killer. Only the Black Kakari could make such a cut. Kylar had done this. The rotting sack of meat was Dorian's father, Gareth. His knees felt suddenly weak. Janine came to stand close beside him, but she didn't touch him, didn't take his hand. Any show of comforting him would make him look weak to his men. "How did you do this?" Dorian asked.
"Your Holiness."
The Highlander, who had a birthmark over the left half of his face, said,
"We thought you'd want His Holiness's body for the pyre. There was a demon in the castle. It did this. The lieutenant went with our 10 best men to kill it. He ordered us to take the body, sire. They were supposed to meet us, but they never came."
"How was your journey?"
"Really?"
The man stared at the floor.
"It was real hard, Holiness. We got jumped 3 times, Sakage twice, and once some damn traitors in Quarig's Pass who went bandit after we lost at Pavil's Grove. They thought we were carrying treasure. Red's not breathing right since I pulled the arrows out. He nodded at the other Highlander, who didn't have red hair. We hope the Verdmeisters might take a look once you're finished with us, sire. They weren't bandits. They were rebels. Dorian stepped forward and put his hand on the Highlander's head. Red tensed, uncertain. He had blood clots and infections all through his lungs. It was amazing he'd lived as long as he had. This is beyond the Verdmeisters, Dorian said. What about you? I'm fine, Your Holiness. What happened to your knees? The man blanched. My horse got killed. Fell on it. Come here, kneel. The man knelt, and Dorian was infuriated at the waste of their bravery. If Dorian weren't such a skilled healer, one would die and the other live a cripple. And for what? To deliver bones. These heroes had made great sacrifices for nothing. You have served with great honor and courage, Dorian told them. In the coming days I will reward you appropriately. He healed them both, though it was oddly difficult to use his talent. There was a low spate of awed cursing from the men as the magic swept them clean. Red coughed once, and then inhaled deeply. They looked at Dorian with awe and fear and confusion, as if they couldn't believe that saving their lives was worth the God King's own effort. Dorian dismissed them and turned back to his father. You sick bastard. You don't deserve a pyre. I should... Dorian broke off, frowning. Keeper, the God Kings always leave orders that their bodies be burned so that they may not be used for Krull, yes? Yes, Your Holiness, Ashaya said, but he looked grey. How many times have those orders been obeyed? Twice, Ashaya whispered. You have the bones of every God King for the last 7 centuries except 2? Dorian was incredulous. 16 of your blood were used to raise our Khongouls, and subsequently destroyed. We have the rest. Do you wish me to prepare a substitute corpse for Gareth's pyre, Your Holiness? Gareth or Sul deserved no less for all the evil he'd done. But refusing his father a decent burial would say more about Dorian than it would about the dead man. My father was a monster enough in life, Dorian said. I'll not make him one in death. Only after the little man left did Janine come hold his hand.